We talk about when life is unfair, God is good. And when life is difficult, God is good. When life is sad, God is good. And when life is good, God is good. And so we turn to the pages of Scripture to kind of find that out as well. And surprisingly and yet not surprisingly, we're coming to a part of the Lord's Prayer that I think applies extremely well to us. Clicker. You got the clicker? Who's got the clicker? It is? Oh, it's all right. Oh, no. I can do without the clicker. She can click, for crying out loud. Right? Right, right. All right. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read the first 15 verses. Ah, there we go. It was hiding. Clicker. Yeah. Isn't it weird how we have to depend on this stuff? This is weird. Maybe the guy holding it is weird. All right, here is what Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 15 says, the Living Translation. It says, "Watch out. Do not do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask Him." In other words, pray like this, Jesus said. "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you." It's good to know. "But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Word of God. For the people of God. Lord, we are listening. We are listening, Heavenly Father. We're listening to your words. And it's important, Lord, that we kind of get the message of what you're talking about here. It's important that we understand how important prayer is and how important this particular prayer is for you and for your kingdom. Help us, Heavenly Father, to follow you and to trust you and to pray in a way that is good for us as well as it is good for you, in a way you would have us pray. We ask these things and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about living in the kingdom of God, praying like Jesus. You see, one of the main themes of the Gospel of Matthew, for Matthew, was the kingdom of God, kingdom living. Matthew was filled with parables that talk about the kingdom of God. Jesus would say repeatedly, "The kingdom of God is like this," or "The kingdom of God is like that." And so we learn more about the kingdom of God. And this prayer is very much about the kingdom of God. So what's behind Jesus saying this? What's behind the prayer? How do we feel like we can understand what Jesus said? "Give us today the food we need." Seems like he wouldn't have to pray that. It would seem like something that it would just come naturally. that we wouldn't have to pray that because God is about meeting our need. So what do we do? And how do we look at what Jesus said here? How do we interpret what Jesus said? Well, there's a couple of things we want to talk about. First, again, here's why Jesus could pray that prayer. First of all, he could pray that prayer because of God's wealth. Give us today the food we need. You see, the fact of the matter is, if God had nothing, he can give us nothing. But instead, he owns it all. Some folks grew up in different denominations here. I don't know if Presbyterian people prayed or sang that song, "He Owns a Cattle on a Thousand Hills." No? You did? You know it? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mind. Well, it's a solo, forget it. But he owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the sun and stars that shine, wonderful riches, more than tongue can tell. He is my Father, so they're mine as well. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Listen to what Psalm 24 says. I love these verses. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We could just stop right there. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed. We really could. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him, for he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. You see, Jesus could pray this prayer because he knew the Father's wealth. He knew the Father's wealth. God owns it all. All of it. Everything seen and unseen, he owns it. It's his. See, I could never say to a friend of mine who was in need when I was a kid, my father's going to give you $20,000. Because my father didn't have $20,000. I think had Dad had $20,000, he probably would have given it to him. But see, Dad couldn't do that because he didn't have all that. Jesus prayed this prayer because he knew that God the Father had the wealth. So my question is, what do you need? And if you think God wants you to have it, do you think he has everything and the wherewithal to give it to you? Give us today the food we need. We want to pray, give us today the food we want. There's lots of things I want, right, Steve? But it's not always what God would know that I need. But Jesus could pray that prayer because he knew the wealth that God had. Secondly, why could he pray that prayer? He can pray that prayer because of God's control. Because of God's control. God not only owns all the universe, everything seen and unseen, but he is in control of the whole shooting match. We forget this, I think, sometimes. We do. We forget it. But here's what Psalm 135 says. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you who serve the Lord. You who serve in the house of the Lord, in the courts and house of our God. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Celebrate his lovely name with music. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his own special treasure. I know the greatness of the Lord, David says. I know the greatness of the Lord. So neat. For that our God is greater than any other God. The Lord does whatever pleases him throughout all heaven and earth. and on the seas and in their depths. He causes the clouds to rise over the whole earth. You can kind of stop that, by the way. Just saying. All right. He causes the clouds to rise over the whole earth, and he sends the lightning with the rain. Boy, that was cool last night you guys had up here, right? We didn't have that, but you guys had like a windstorm and lightning. What do you call that? I was going to say white lightning, but I don't think that's it. Heat lightning. Not white lightning, no. But here's what he says. Yeah, he sends the lightning with the rain and releases the wind from his storehouses. You see, God does whatever pleases him. The problem is, what pleases us, or what we think would make us happy, isn't necessarily what God always designs. I remember going through hospice care with folks and spending time with people who were terminally ill. They were going to die. And it didn't make sense to them, you see. It didn't make sense that God would let this happen to them. I mean, if God was really in control, if God had control of everything and he's so loving, then how come I'm going through this? And time after time after time, this is nothing new, folks. I've talked to you about this before. Time after time, we would realize, myself and the patient, as we were walking through it, that we would never have known the goodness of God, and they would never have known the goodness of God had they not gone through what they were going through. Okay? Small example. I haven't golfed at all this year. If anyone golfs with me this year, it's just be sure to laugh, because there's going to be a lot of slices happening, especially off the tee. In fact, I've said before, it's not just a slice, it's the whole loaf. I mean, it's just whack. Okay? And then you pray, and you say, God, why does that ball have to end up in the trees every single time? I would not know patience in my life if it wasn't for that. That's a small example. But let me ask you, what's going on in your life that you don't get and that you don't understand? Why isn't God healing you? I mean, if he's really in control, and maybe he's not good, and maybe he's not, he's all good, but maybe he's not in control. The fact of the matter is, Psalm 135 has said that God does what pleases him. And then you say to yourself, wouldn't it please him if he made me healthy? You and I would never know the goodness of God if our lives were just peaches and cream every day. He's in control. He's in control, and he loves you, okay? He loves you. Well, you know that's the third point, right? You see, Jesus could pray this prayer because he knew of the compassion of God the Father. He knew of the love of God the Father. He knew how strong that love really was. Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. Oh, I love these verses too. This is so good. I hope this strikes home to you today. Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel. I have cared for you since you were born. Isn't that cool? And before. Yes, I carried you before you were born. Does God know you? Really? Come on. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair, should I choose to give you any, till your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along, and I will save you. Wowie kazowie. He is going to care for you. Does he know you? Yeah, he knows you. Is he in control? Absolutely. Does he want what's best for you? Every day. But Jesus prayed this prayer because he knew the compassion of God the Father. He knew what that compassion was. Verses 25 through 34. Go back to Matthew 6. Love this too. Good stuff. That's why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life, Jesus said. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but I feed them from the grass seed that I'm putting in my front yard. Frustrating. Just saying. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them, and aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Right, thank you. That is a rhetorical question. But can all your worrying add a minute to your life? No. Not a minute. And why worry about your clothing? I kind of am lately. I really am. I prayed this morning really hard. Oh God, keep these clothes on my body, for they are tight, and I am in need. Anyway, and why worry about your clothing? Boy, do I get sidetracked. Isn't that awful? The pastor has ADD. It's terrible. Look at the lilies of the field and know and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, and yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Huh? Hello. True. So, out of God's compassion. You see, the fact of the matter is, and I know some of you are sitting there and saying, that's all nice, Pastor, but I'm still hurting. I'm still going through a struggle. My family's still falling apart. My job is a wreck. You know, what do you got to say about that? This is what I got to say, that God is meeting all your needs today. It may not seem like it now, but he's working behind the scenes. And the prayer that we prayed last week, Lord Jesus, may your will be done in my life. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And when we pray that prayer, you see, the compassion of God just kind of takes over. And he meets every need we have. It's the coolest thing in the world. So let's live that way, huh? I'm going to try to. Father, we do thank you. We thank you that Jesus prayed this prayer and that it speaks to us even now. You know what, Lord? We really need you. Boy, we need you a lot. We need you badly. So watch over us, Heavenly Father. Keep us, I pray. We love you today, and we ask that you would continue to meet our needs and help us to recognize and to know that you are in control of all things. We love you, Lord, and we praise you now through Christ our Savior. And all the people of God said, Amen.
God has given each the ability to work so we can live in this world. He has supplied every need that we have. Let us return our thanks for his faithfulness. Would the ushers please come forward?
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.
Father, we got to tell you how grateful we are. How grateful we are that you supply our needs. Lord, we've returned back to you something you've already given to us. You've given us the ability to work and to have lives that can produce the things that we have. And Lord, we're grateful for what you've given to us, both the jobs and the things you've given us, our homes and everything you've done. So Lord, accept these gifts. We return a small portion back to you out of the gratitude of our heart. Bless the offering, Lord. Multiply it over and over. We'll give you thanks through Christ our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be in the house of God today? Yeah, it's good. Good. Let's go to prayer. Father, you're so good to us. We're here today, Lord, and honestly, we're kind of amazed at the fact that the God that created this universe and put all things into motion would be the God who would come into our lives and live within us and dwell with us and make His home with us. Would come within this house and worship with us, Lord, as we are worshiping You and as we've lifted Your name in song and in word. Lord, we realize that You are with us and we are thankful. Father, today as we come before You, we think about all of those who are in need. Thank You, Lord, for continuing to be with Maria. We ask, Lord, that You'd be with Maria Klingerman and help her today, Lord. May she get back to us very soon, making many adjustments in her life right now. But we pray, Lord, that You would just help her and bless her today. Continue, Lord, to bless all others, all those who have been dealing with cancer and difficulty and physical illness in their lives from our congregation. Thank You, Lord, for helping out our fellows who are going through prostate cancer and all those, Lord, who have been just struggling. Thank You for Your constant presence. Lord, you know, we stand by that. We stand by that. We would stake our lives on it. We would stake our lives on the fact, Lord, that we would not know You if we did not go through these troubles. All of us would love an easy life. All of us would like a life without pain and struggle and difficulty. We'd all want that. But Lord, the life You've chosen for us is a life that sometimes seems very unfair. And yet we know one thing, You are good. We wouldn't know that You were good if we didn't go through hard times. We think, Lord, today also of Bert. We pray that You would be with her and help her, Lord, as she remained in the hospital overnight. We ask, Lord, for Your touch upon her and her family, Lord, who love her very, very much. Be with Aunt Till, Lord. We pray that You know what's going on in that situation. This dear, sounds like very dear old lady. I give You thanks that she's lived 100 years, Father. That's a wonderful thing. What a wonderful saint she is, I'm sure. But Father, draw very near to her today, I pray. We know that You're there. Thank You for Anna and what she means to us. This little girl means so much to us. I don't know, she's growing up before our eyes, for goodness sakes. Pray that You would be with Anna. Help this year to be a good year for her. And be with Norm as well. We ask, Lord, for Your continued blessing upon him. Thank You for Your help that You've given in the cardiac situation he found himself in. Lord, we pray for our local churches. Now that the word is out and people know what's happening over at Prospect Church in Mount Nebo with the pastor retiring, we know, Lord, that Pastor Steve was far more than just a pastor. He was everything to Prospect in that area. So, Father, I pray that even now, well, I know You're already working on it. I know You've got the perfect person, whether it's a man or woman, Lord, that You would bring to that church. We pray, Lord, that Your blessing would go before them. Give them clear, clear vision, just like you gave us in our process a few years ago. Give us clear vision. Help the person, Lord, that you have in store for that church. May you already be speaking to their heart, and may they have the desire to do your will, to listen. So, Father, be with that area today. Be with Prospect and with those churches. Father, for all of our prayers and supplications that we bring before you, together now we pray the prayer that Jesus, your Son, taught us to pray. Praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Please stand as we sing our final hymn together.